All right, Lakers Nation, this episode of Lakerland Live is also brought to you by our friends at Playback.tv for your free VIP access to all Lakers watch party games throughout the NBA playoffs. Make sure y'all come on over to Playback.tv/Lakerland. All right, boys and girls, it's time to get into today's show. Let's do it. We got Dan the Laker fan in a building. Yes. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, NBA community, welcome back to Lakerland, man. I'm your host, moderator, Seven Mitchell, and we are in the damn building. My God. The purple and gold skies are shining bright. We survive yet again. I had to bring my brother on deck. Dan, the Lakers fan, is joining me today because we're going to break down everything that happened last night. We're going to talk about tomorrow. We locked in, Lakerland. Y'all know what we came here to do, so salute to the supporters. Dan, what's the vibes, bro?
Man, we finally get one, bro. We finally got one, man. I couldn't sleep all week last week, man. Just thinking about, are we going to get embarrassed? You know, like, what's going to happen? Another sweep, bro? My mindset was already gone. Like, I was already like, if we get swept again, man, that's going to suck. But thank the Lord, man, that we actually came up with a dub yesterday. That was crucial. Crucial.
Man. Big shout out to Dan, the Laker fans. Big up to the Lakers Nation. I see everyone in the live chat. Thank you guys for the support on this episode. Big up to everyone. We got a crazy, and I mean crazy, episode today here on Lakerland. So you guys, make sure y'all buckle up. If y'all are new to the Lakerland platform, make sure y'all subscribe, smash that like button. Let's get this stream out to the NBA community. It's going day by day, Renee. You already know, one win at a time. That's how we rocking. Salute to you. Salute to everybody that's in the live chat, man. Definitely appreciate you. Dan, again, thank you so much, bro, for coming through.
Of course,
and
brother.
Quarterback in this situation. Before we even get into our Lakers talk, I do want to cruise around the NBA with you because we got a couple important things going down today in the NBA playoffs. So I do want to get your perspective, Dan, on what the hell we got going on in the association today. Now, later on, we got Milwaukee and Indiana. Indy, I believe, is up 2-1 in this series. And it was just reported, bro, that Dame ass is out. So wow. There may be no Dame and no Giannis for tonight's game versus Indy. What's your reaction to this news, bro? And what chance does Milwaukee have of winning this series, bro? Let's be honest.
Well, first and foremost, right now we got Indy leading 2-1. They're probably going to go up 3-1 today. Right. But I had Indy coming out of the series, even if they would have had a Giannis. I know it's been close games. But the thing is, I don't trust Doc River coaching anything.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Like this man is a cat. He's landing on his feet. He got 9 lives, bro. I don't get it. He's living off of that 07 championship, 08. And ever since Adrian Griffin got fired, which he shouldn't have.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everything went spiraling down. Now, I understand they're going through injuries, but I had Indiana all the way personally, me.
Even before Doc Rivers came into the mix, my major concern with this duo was what was going to happen when we got to this point. Right. Because as true basketball fans, we know once we get to April and May and June, once we get to the playoff, the entire game changes. So who's going to be identified as the Batman, as the Robin? We know this is Giannis's team. We understand that Giannis is a champion. And it's easy for Dame to say in the regular season, I'm going to accept the role of being Robin. But when them clutch moments come in the playoffs, we watch Dame time. He's built a brand off of this. So who is going to really identify as being that guy? It's easy for Giannis to say, I'm going to defer to Dame now in the regular season when you're not at that point. But I always felt like there could be a potential chemistry issue with these two. So I never really favored them to go far in the East this season. I actually want to bet off of Milwaukee. And then when they brought Doc Rivers in the fold, bro, it was just crazy. And, you know, you talked about the emotion and the personalization that you got between Milwaukee and Indiana going back to the in-season tournament.
Right.
This shit means something to the Pacers. And this, I think this will shock the NBA world, bro, if Milwaukee gets knocked out in the first round, despite the excuse that you could say about the health.
Well, let's be honest, man. The last couple of years, Milwaukee hasn't really been making runs. You know, they have not. A lot of it is due to the health, but some of it, you know, changing of obviously you changing of head coaches impacts that. We've seen the Lakers go through that same thing. But, yeah, Indiana is here, man. They are here. They're official, man. This season they showed they eliminated some teams in the in-season tournament when everybody had playoff vibes, and it was kind of an eye-opener, like, whoa. And then they went ahead and made that Pascal Siakam trade. Completely, yep. Bro, changed the whole game up a little bit. The East is wide open for the taking. Right now, I believe the Knicks are down to the Sixers, right? So the Sixers win today. Yep. That series will be tied. And the last thing the Knicks want is to be tied, worn down in the series, because they got the winner of this Milwaukee versus Indy series, right? So that's going to be insane. But, yeah, man, the East is wide open for the taking. I know everybody got Boston, but I think there's a chance Boston gets knocked off by one of these two teams that are up ahead, man.
Now, there's one organization in the Eastern Conference that I want to spend just a brief moment on before we get into our Lakers talk. And they're struggling right now. And this has something to do with the LA team. And I'm talking about Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Depending on how this shit play out, Dan, this nigga Don might be out of Cleveland, right?
Yeah, that could happen. Yeah. And then the New York Knicks are looking like a prime landing destination right now. To me,
for D. Mitch?
Yeah, because they got draft picks. You know what I'm saying? They're trending in the right direction. Leon Rose has reestablished a lot of bridges that were burnt between the Knicks and themselves. So I think there's a great chance Donovan Mitchell gets traded. And I think it's in the best interest at heart for the Cavs to actually oblige. Because what happens is Donovan Mitchell is about to enter his final year of his contract. And if they do not trade him by the trade deadline or even this summer, he could walk for nothing. So I'm sure Dan Gilbert is not going to want to let that happen. You know, I'm pretty sure.
I want to know from the streets. I want to know from Lakerland. I want to know from everyone in the live chat. What are your thoughts on Donovan Mitchell joining the purple and gold? Because there has been a storyline and a narrative, just a lot of fantasy talk for the most part. But some feel like Donovan would be an immediate fit for this Lakers roster if we was to so hypothetically lose D'Angelo Russell or any other types of elements. What's your thoughts on the Donovan Mitchell experiment with the purple and gold? Does that make sense to you, bro?
Oh, man. You know what? That's a great question. First off, I got to start off by saying I've been one of the few fans that have been advocating for complete change if the Lakers lose again to the Nuggets. And what I mean by that is we got to be very careful, man. As a Laker front office, you're entering, you know, uncharted danger territory, because what happens is, what happens if we trade all three of our first round picks that we have coming up, and you know, the ones that are available for trade, and then we get somebody like a Donovan Mitchell, we deplete the roster, we give up young talent like Reeves, Rui, etc., and we fall short again. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you got to swing for the fences. But I'm starting to realize, if you notice one thing, brother, is that the league is changing, right? Steph Curry didn't make the playoffs. Kevin Durant is on the verge of getting swept. And if LeBron loses, it sounds like the end of an era. This is a young man's league. So you really have to be careful about what you do with your future, because Donovan Mitchell could be that guy that gets you over the hump. Or maybe it ends up being another Bradley Beal to the Suns failed type experiment. You feel me?
That's what you're risking. That's an absolute fact. And I don't know, bro. I like the D'Angelo Russell. Something about D'Lo I don't want to get rid of, bro. I know he's shown inconsistencies, bro, and I haven't been a big fan of D'Lo, especially his first go-around with the Lakers, bro, but it's just something about when he is on, he's like a smooth criminal on that basketball court, bro, and our offense looks so efficient, bro. I don't know if I want to see D'Lo go. I'm not saying that he's better than Donovan Mitchell, and we're going to talk about D'Lo's option to opt out and all that other stuff. But I'm not quite sold that D. Mitch, even though he's a good player on paper, all-star, definitely a star in the league, I don't know if that's an automatic trip to the championship for the Lakers in the next year or two. It'll be tough to me.
Yeah, it's hard to say that there's an automatic trip no matter who you acquire, because for me, there's more to this team than meets the eye. Like, we went away from the two big man lineups that haven't been working. You know, we went with the small ball. I don't like that. The coaching might need a might need an upgrade. I think that might be the biggest issue. And then, you know, one player, basketball is interesting because one player could change the whole dynamic of your team. And Donovan Mitchell is good enough to do that offensively. But right. Where the Lakers struggle is defensively. How do you stop the jokers of the world? You know what I'm saying? How do you that? I love the sound effects. That is where the Lakers actually struggle, man. So it's like, what are we really trying to acquire this offseason? We're trying to acquire more offense. We struggled offensively due to D'Lo's inconsistency, due to Austin Reeves' inconsistency offensively. But where we really struggle is defensively, man. Guarding that perimeter. Vando solves a lot of that. When he comes back and he's healthy, he'll solve a lot of that. But that, you know, we went away. Historically, the Lakers have always won with a two big man lineup.
Right. And
why the Lakers would choose to go the Steph Curry route, you know, build like the Warriors, go small, I do not understand, bro. And I actually want to ask you this. What do you think of the three-guard lineups that Darvin loves to run?
Bro, it disgusts me. Shout out to my brother Cole, part of the Lakerland team, bro. We have just been so disgusted with this three-guard lineup that Darvin Ham continues to want to ingratiate into this offense. And it's not so much, Dan, the personnel that we got a problem with. I'll speak for myself. It's the fucking timing.
Yep.
That's the shit. I'd be like, Darvin, what? Like, bro, he just be tweaking. Man, it's been a movie when we talk about Darvin Ham and the Los Angeles Lakers, bro. But let's get into what happened last night, because GOAT James, AD, and the gang, man, they came to play last night. Everybody counted us out, and we found a way to get the win. Last night, shout out to the Lakers. We survived the sweep,
yes,
and we are on our way to Denver tomorrow night. Before we even preview tomorrow night's game, bro, just give me your feel and your thoughts on, you know, the Lakers' performance, good and bad from last night.
Well, first of all, I want to give a major shout out to the DTLF gang, man. They in here heavy today. Shout out
My God. Yes. Time out. Jesus Christ. Shout out to the fam.
Man, hey, listen, subscribe to my guy. Let's get him to 5K subscribers. He's almost right there, man. He's at the doorsteps. He puts in a lot of work, man. He's always a gracious host with me. Show him mad love, chat. This guy's awesome. Appreciate
you guys, man. Definitely, man. Shout out to my brother Dan, day one, doing his thing. He built his platform. I'm definitely a huge supporter. And, man, I appreciate what you're doing for me and mine, man. Definitely.
Man, it's all love, brother. But listen, to answer your question, I got to say, I'm very proud. First and foremost, we didn't get swept. I'm proud of the team. They showed some heart. I was very interested coming into the game to see if they were about to fold like a lawn chair, or they were actually going to, you know, say, show some goal. The fans, especially in the arena, didn't deserve what happened game three, right? They didn't deserve that shit. So they made up for it a little bit, but they really want to make up for it, man. The game that really killed me was game two, bro. That dagger, how we gave up that 20-point lead.
And I missed that game.
Thank God, bro.
I missed that game. And that game has been just like the topic of discussion on Lakerland. And I just, you know, I saw some of the highlights, but, you know, I didn't get to watch the 48 minutes, which is eating me alive, because people are painting the picture that game has been so pivotal in this series.
Bro, it has been, because think about it. We should be 2-2 at the worst. But in reality, we have led every first quarter, bro. And what bothers me is that we go away from the game plan. That's a lot to do with Darvin Ham. But it also has to do with the players. We've been feeding AD. Last night, the biggest difference and the reason why we won, we had 72 points in the fucking paint, bro. 72.
Yeah.
That's our strength. Why are we settling for three-pointers like we're Clay and Curry? I don't get. But when we played through our strengths and we played the two-man game between AD and LeBron James, they was cooking last night. And let's be honest, they've been giving Joker way too much respect. You know what I'm saying? He's built like a hot air balloon, and they out here, you know, treating him like he's Ben Wallace around the paint. We've been talking about that too. It's crazy, right?
Talking about that too. That's a fact.
So I hope to God that they try to get 80 points in the paint the next game, then 90 the one after that. Like, that's the key to success and to winning high efficiency basketball and attacking, you know, this flat footed fucking Jokic. Because I'm telling you right now, bro, he's an elite offensive player and a very mid defensive player. So you gotta cook him.
Bro, you're preaching to the choir, and that's been my thing coming into this series. You know, I don't want to take away anything from Nikola Jokic, but I've always campaigned that if you want to try to neutralize and beat this Denver team, you have to take away the support system. His ability to get his teammates involved is his biggest attribute as a big man. If you took away that element from his game, he still be averaging a, he's still a walking double double, but it doesn't give you that Embiid impact. It doesn't give you that Shaq impact. Like he, his ability to get everybody involved is what makes him so special. So you have to find ways to neutralize these other guys. And you see how Jamal Murray, you know, how he's struggling. That was real key. But when you look at these first four games, bro, the third quarter has been the Kim Kardashian to our team.
Right.
What is the biggest issue with this third quarter? We made the big time adjustment, you know, basically just scoring in the third quarter yesterday. But what's the biggest problem coming out of the half that we struggle so much? And who should we be, you know, pointing the blame to?
You know what? I was reading a statistic the other night. I don't remember where I read it. It might have been Twitter, where it says the Denver Nuggets actually like to play from behind. No diddy. And, you know, they coming in here gauging us in the first quarter. So we've won every single first quarter in all four games.
Yep.
And they gauge us in that first quarter. Mike Malone is such a mastermind that he makes adjustments in the second quarter. And then you start seeing everything go downhill. Why? Because Darvin refuses to call timeouts, challenge plays, and make adjustments and actually utilize that size. Why is Jackson Hayes now just playing game four?
Bro.
Why?
You're talking about the perfect game. We have been begging for some type of rebounding, yes. Somebody to rebound other than AD. And Jackson Hayes' ass has just been sitting down this whole series, you know, and this whole talk about Vando and Christian Woods come back, like all that shit is capped to me, bro. Jackson is out there. He's not going to be an offensive impact, but his presence, his ability to make people shots a little bit difficult. We need that.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's just the thing with Darvin, bro, is that Mike Malone is running circles. In reality, my guy LOE said it best. We could easily be up 3-1. I don't want to sound arrogant and I don't want to sound ridiculous. But every game we've had the lead and we've lost, we've self-destructed probably around every third quarter. Last night, I saw a sense of urgency in the third. I saw us come out here. I saw AD crashing the glass. He had 20 for the first time in the series. You know, so I saw us utilize size. I saw Darvin actually challenge a fucking play, man. Yeah. He finally did that. There were several opportunities we had in the last couple of losses that we had where he could have challenged a play. And if it went our way, it could have changed the momentum of the game. You know, and I think, I don't know if you saw the Mark Jackson little clip that was going around the web.
About timeouts?
Yeah.
He was talking to Darvin Ham Soul. I don't care what nobody say. He was talking to Darvin Ham Soul. Let's be clear.
He came out and said, I've been watching these games. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking to you. He literally said, I'm talking to you. Yeah. You know, call a timeout. Get your team settled. He also mentioned how he would have started, fuck the rotations. He would have started AD at the center in the fourth quarter to stop momentum. What was it, game two? Right. And so, like, that's the type of coach we need, man. Somebody who can coach on the fly. Somebody who's not afraid to hold players accountable, because Darvin, he wants to hold their hand. This is why D'Lo is going on social media. The one thing I'll say about D'Lo is that I don't like is that he should let his game do the talking. He gets on these podcasts, calls himself a killer. You know, he's going out here talking about, and hit the like button. Listen to my computer, y'all. Hit the like button. He's going on these, on these little social media platforms talking about fuck everybody's opinion. Listen, keep your head in the game. Keep your head in the game, young man. Don't worry about whatever, all the outside noise. If you play good, you will get the praise. Right now, I'm calling him 50% D'Lo because out of four games, he's only played good in two of them. All right, so I call him Mr. 50%. I need 75% at least from him. That's what I need.
What's your thoughts on, see, this guy, D'Angelo Russell, it's the tale of two different stories, bro.
Yep.
Because to me, when his name got considered in trade talks, he really showed value. He showed that we was not going anywhere without his play. He showed impact. And now that we first is the Denver Nuggets, the team who he really needs to show, you know, based off of what happened in the last Western Conference Finals, bro, D'Lo has not really stepped up to the challenge overall. He did show his ass off last night, but, you know, he got that player option. What does the future look like for D'Angelo Russell, bro? Does he remain a Laker, or has he already fucked up his free agency bag from this play?
Man, I'll be honest with you, man. Like, if you're a GM around the league, why would you want to give this guy anywhere near max dollars?
Max dollars.
Why would you do it? Listen, he's shown throughout his career, he's 28 now. He's still in his prime. I'm not going to hate on the young man. He's good during the regular season. But what's going on during the playoffs, man? 50% is not good enough from a starting guard. And putting up a bagel, man, putting up 0 points in a playoff game. I went off on Dennis Schroeder and called him a bench player when he did that for us a couple years back. You cannot be the starting point guard of the Los Angeles Lakers and put up a bagel, man. Unless you want to you put up a donut, you better get an application at Krispy Kreme's. I'm telling you right now, bro, because that's not acceptable. There's a higher standard, right? Yeah. And on top of that, the worst part is that when D'Angelo Russell's not scoring, he's not hitting the shots, he's not doing nothing for your team.
Thank you.
That's the problem for me, you know? And I don't know if he's coming back as a Laker or not. We you know, it's dead cap if you don't re-sign him. So there's always an option to sign and trade him and get some value back in return. Yeah. But, man, I honestly don't know what D'Angelo Russell's going to do. If I'm D'Angelo Russell, I'm taking one more prove-it-all deal with the Lakers. One more. One-year deal. Why? Yeah. Because I don't think he convinced anybody this season. He had a great regular season. Career numbers all across the board. And then you come into the playoffs and you're good half the time. So, I mean, unless these next couple of games he swings, you know, momentum our way and he's a big reason for it, then I just really can't see him, you know, getting the bag.
Now, I agree with you. I feel like D'Lo definitely should let his play speak more than his mouth does throughout the season. I do respect, however, his transparency. You know, D'Lo keeps the shit real, and I love that about him. They asked him about Darvin Ham last night. We know we've heard him talk about the relationship between him and Darvin Ham, and they asked him or mentioned about Darvin Ham saying how the confidence that he has in D'Lo and knowing that he was going to get back into his groove. And, you know, D'Lo kept that shit real last night. He was like, you know, I appreciate it, but I don't need that, you know, especially from dude, because, you know, we ain't really rocking like that. You know, you could tell that's what the vibes was. And I just appreciate D'Lo not trying to be phony. But, yeah, bro, I just think that he kind of screwed himself in this first round with his play. And hopefully these guys can continue to play and win, but that would kind of gear him to stay in LA. Cause I like D'Lo. I really do.
I like him too. Like I said, the only thing I don't like about him is when he's a non-factor. And the worst part is that it's not really his fault. It's the coaching staff needs to hold him accountable. And when he's having these type of games, you got to put him to the side and be like, okay, listen, son, you are 0-for. The game he went 0-for-9 from beyond the arc. You're 0-for-5. At some point, bro, do other things to help your team win. You know, crash the glass. You know, play some defense. Get back in transition. Push the ball. You know, do things that a lead guard will do to help your team win. You don't have to get it all back in one game, because he shot us out of that ball game, if we're being honest. If D'Lo makes 3 more threes in that game, we win that game, right? Same thing in game 2. If LeBron James doesn't go early and he attacks the rim instead of settling for that 3. Now, that was a controversial topic. I don't know if you touched on it, bro. But what I want to ask you this, because you're a great basketball mind. What was your thought on LeBron James with more than 10 seconds left on the shot clock in that fourth quarter to end the game, taking a 3? It was wide open, granted. But he had a lane to drive. And he shot, giving them the time. And I kind of knew the game was over when that happened. I kind of knew they had their home court. You know, Jamal Murray has the ball in his hands with plenty of time. I kind of felt like, okay, we're probably going to lose this. How did you feel about that shot LeBron took?
I had a problem with it only because I've watched LeBron do this podcast with JJ Redick. And he alluded to, at the end of games, he's real big on getting the smartest shot. Not necessarily 2-for-1s or, you know, trying to potentially get 2-for-1s when he alluded to the last shot being the smartest shot you could actually make and take. And I didn't feel like that was a smart play. And we're watching LeBron make a lot of turnovers, a lot. Mm-hmm. And his usage rate has always been high, so he's always turned the ball over. But, you know, Bron is just making a lot of bonehead mistakes out there, bro. You know, he's playing well. Don't get it twisted. He's still doing his thing. He's still freight train James. But the turnovers and the decision-making, bro, is just – it really confuses me. And that one play alone has been a problem.
We ain't never seen him do this before throughout his career. Like, he's always been a cerebral player. Part of me thinks that Father Time is knocking, and sometimes he runs out of gas, so he settles for the shot. That's what part of me feels like. And same thing with the pass. Some of these passes is like sometimes he looks at that lane and he says, oh, man, I'm gassed. I've been carrying this team for quite some time. Let me just make a pass. It's like a second, he second guesses himself. And that's why these turnovers happen. Yeah. And that's the, again, when his prime, you know, I feel like he's just exiting his prime now. And we're about to start seeing that. This is why I question the Donovan Mitchell trade. What if next year LeBron has like a Kobe post Achilles tear type of fall off, you know what I'm saying? Type year. What if LeBron has that type of year next year and we mortgage the future and you brought in Donovan Mitchell and then it's just not enough because it's going to feel like LeBron shell of himself plus Donovan and AD and God forbid anybody gets hurt because now our depth is depleted. We're going to end up like the Suns. You know, that's my biggest fear. That's my biggest fear.
And you can look at that in two ways, Dan, because it doesn't even have to be an injury issue. Mm-hmm. What if because LeBron know most likely he may not get no All-NBA, so he might not have to be pressed to play 65 games. What if he's going to pace himself and do this load management thing next year just to make sure or assure himself to be able to play with Bronny in the following season? You know, so that could affect the Lakers as well as far as how many games he's actually playing. He don't even have to be hurt. I believe LeBron James have built enough cachet with the NBA, with the Lakers organization to kind of dictate his pace of how many games he's going to play in the season. Mm-hmm. Whether we like it or don't, I think he has that much cachet to bring that shit to the table. I don't think Jeannie and Rob Pelinka would go. And Darvin Ham, he ain't in no position to go against that.
Right. Yeah, man, personally, I hope – this is what my hope is, right? If they're going to run it back, if they're going to run it back with AD and LeBron again, I'm really hoping that we rework AD's contract, take a little bit of a one-year pay cut to get some free agents, make it, you know, one more go. And the same thing with LeBron. Maybe a, you know, saying front-loaded contract where in the front end is cheaper and then in the back end you get paid more. Yeah. They got to figure something out because with this cap situation, it's tricky now, man. They, you know, we used to be able to trade for superstars and then add some more through free agency and you will win a championship. Now, bro, let's be honest, right? In 10 years, right? Not even 10 years. The last time we won a championship before this last time was 2010. So between 2010 and now, that's been 14 years. And in those 14 years, we've only truly competed and won a championship in 2020. One out of 14 is not very good, man. This ratio we had as Laker fans where we felt like every year we dominate and we're always competing, it's kind of starting to disappear. You know, I feel like God rest his soul, the late, great Dr. Jerry Buss, he left the blueprint, man. He was cutthroat. He made quick decisions. But this new CBA, man, is really challenging the Lakers' old train of thought. And I think they're going to have to start going through the draft, going through free agency, and building from within. Because the advantage of drafting a star is that those first couple of years are discounted, and then you can add free agents, and then you can go over the cap to re-sign your own free agents, which is how the Warriors, the Nuggets, and all these people are doing it to have a stacked roster. If you look at our team, we're kind of front loaded, man. We don't have a lot of production off the bench right now. And that's a big problem if you want to really compete for a title. You know what I mean? Like, this is why I actually think Denver is not going to win a championship this year, regardless of whatever happens in the series, because they're not getting a lot of production out of their bench either.
From their guys, that's a fact. So, they're top heavy. They're definitely top heavy.
Mm-hmm. And so, in order to win a championship historically, you'll see you need to average at least 15 to 20 points off the bench. You need it.
But here's the problem, Dan. Mm-hmm. Here's the fucking problem. Who's going to lead the fucking troops? Who's going to be the leader? Like, we watched last night in game four, LeBron James go nuclear because Darvin Ham didn't call that challenge. I haven't seen LeBron act that crazy mid-game over a play maybe ever. Right. And, you know, Darvin dropped the ball on that. Then when you look at this visual, Lakerland, everybody in the chat, boys and girls, this is the minutes for the entire series so far between the Lakers and the Nuggets.
Damn.
Yet the Lakers are down 3-1 in this series.
Yep.
This right here is total evidence that the problem begins and ends with Darvin Ham, bro.
Yep. Yeah, man, listen. And again, the front office made a huge mistake by giving him a multi-year deal. They should not do that, fam. They should not do that. And shout out to RC for the super chat. Appreciate you, bro. but, you know, the Lakers, they have made mistakes the last couple of years. Again, we haven't found our long-term head coach since Phil Jackson. You know what I mean? It's like since Phil Jackson, man. And if you don't mind me reading this one right here, it says, rumors Laker front office want to bring back Ham. I think it's all hearsay for now. The real rumors begin in the offseason. You know, It's all everybody wants clickbait right now. So I would take everything with a grain of salt, man, right now.
But I'm gonna say this though, Dan and RZ, when you watch interviews, Jeannie and Rob seem to be happy with dude. Like they got him in their pocket. And that's what I think they love the most, more than anything, is to have someone that they can control. You know, Frank Vogel, Luke Walton. That's why Ty Lue didn't take the job. That's why Jason Kidd didn't want the job, because they, you know, it's like they got Darvin, I feel like, exactly where they want him to be for now. He's going to have to produce, but they are willing to give him some time. This is interesting, bro. This is interesting.
It's going to be interesting because, you know what? There could also be a power struggle at the top. You feel me? Like, maybe Clutch in the Lakers front office. Maybe this is why they didn't make a trade at the trade deadline. Maybe all of this is going to, you know, culminate into something in the offseason. Maybe it's going to come into ugly divorce between LeBron and the Lakers. Maybe it's all nothing. Maybe it's all just smoke and mirrors. But at the end of the day, Lakers, man, it's always interesting because there's always a storyline going on. You know what I mean? Always. Even when we were winning 17 games, bro, there was a storyline going on. And this year, the biggest storyline is Darvin Ham, you know, or as they call him, Darvin Scamp.
That's a fact. Y'all let us know, Lakerland, what y'all thoughts are on Darvin Ham. Win or lose this series, should the Lakers part ways with this coach? Y'all let us know in the comment section. This is Lakerland Live, episode number 8. We are in the building. Dan, a Lakers fan, has come through, and he brought the gang with him.
The chat is all goated, man. These people, man, they're the best, bro. I'll tell you, the love that Laker fans show is second to none. You know what I'm saying? That's and so let's go ahead and show love to my brother. Subscribe to Lakerland, man. You see him doing his thing, man. I love the graphics, everything, bro. I see you putting in the work.
We on it, bro.
Props to you.
We on it. That's how we giving it up, bro. Every day, all day, man. Thank you guys so much for coming through to the Lakerland platform. Make sure that y'all show my brother Dan, the Lakers fan, support on Playback, on YouTube, everywhere on social media. Dan, real quick, before we kind of get into game 5, let the people know who are not from the circle, where they can follow you at, what type of content you got going on, and all that other type of good shit, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Man, listen, it's all love, man. As far as me, I'm on YouTube, Dan the Laker Fan, man. You guys see the name on the back. And then as well on Twitter, at Dan the Laker Fan, Instagram, all of that. Most importantly, Playback TV, man. Playback TV is the future, fam. I want you guys to show support to not just me, but my guy right here, Mr. Mitchell, man. At the end of the day, it's all about just spreading the wealth and spreading the love, man. There's a love for everybody to eat. So it's not about me today. It's about my guy right here at Lakerland. So go ahead and show him love, man.
Man, definitely salute, man. It's always going to be about us. That's how we rock it. Day one shit. Let's get into tomorrow night, bro, because everybody counted this out. It wasn't supposed to be no game tomorrow. Everybody counted the Lakers out. Bring the broomsticks out. All this goofy shit they was talking. But we're here now.
Yep. Hey, listen. Listen. I myself did. I had to see a win before I could start believing. I'm going to keep it stacked. Like, we had lost 11 in a row. I'd be lying if I told you I knew we was going to win yesterday. I had no clue, bro. I would just watch. I said, expect the worst, hope for the best. That's where my mindset is right now with the rest of this series. I'm expecting the worst. The hardest game coming up is going to be game 5. All right, because they still have momentum over the series. They're up 3-1. There's absolutely zero pressure on them. All the pressure is on us. However, if we find a way to get that dub, all right, tomorrow night, then the pressure all of a sudden shifts to them because now we would be coming back home, right? And that's a must win for them. If they don't do that, you know, anything can happen in game 7. You get LeBron in game 7 motivated, ready to make history, bets are off, man. But it starts with tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is the biggest game, obviously. I'm going to say one of the biggest games of LeBron's career as far as, like, continuing to build on the legacy. It's cemented already. He's already top 3 no matter what. But if he wants to keep building on that, tomorrow, if he has a phenomenal game, he leads us to victory tomorrow, that just elevates him even more. So I think tomorrow night is huge for him, personally for me. One of the biggest games in his career. He's 39 years of age. He's still the best player on his team.
Thank you.
And you know what I'm saying?
Say that again real quick for the fucking people in the back. Can you say that one more time?
Yes. No, he's definitely the best player on his team, hands down. Because without LeBron James. Hey, without Breezy, we go nowhere, man. That's the bottom line. LeBron is different, man. He's different. In age 39, this is what makes him one of the GOATs, right? If not the GOAT, is that in the age of 39, we ain't never seen this high level of basketball. Last night, he reminded us, okay, I might be running out of gas soon, but I still got it right now. And so if he can do that again for us on game five, I think it elevates his legacy even more, believe it or not. I know it sounds crazy, chat, but he puts us in position to gain momentum of this series, even though we're down 3-2, even if he wins game five. But that would be huge from a 39-year-old. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. This might be one of the biggest games of his career. One of them.
I'm going to double down on that one, Dan, because I think this, in hindsight, is going to be – this, to me, is game seven for Denver, whether people agree with it or not. The Nuggets cannot afford to lose this game five to the Lakers. Because they're not going to win game six at Crypto. And for you to have been up 3-0 on the Lakers team, who coming into this series, pretty much this whole season, we haven't even played with our whole roster. So we've been shorthanded. For you to have blown a 3-0 series, and now you have to go seven games versus LeBron and AD, I don't care that it's in Denver and the altitude and all that other stuff. That's a lock for LeBron, in my opinion, and AD, if all goes well. Tomorrow night, like you said, bro, is so pivotal for LeBron, but I also think that is very instrumental for the Denver Nuggets as well, even though they got an opportunity to lose a couple games before their series and season is over. But what are the keys to victory for tomorrow, bro? Because you spoke on LBJ, and I've been acting bad on playback. I've been acting bad on these streets because I don't feel like they are going through LeBron in this series as much as they should. I'm not saying he needs the lead in points, but he needs to quarterback this situation for the most part at all times. And I haven't really seen that throughout the duration of these first four games like that consistently. What's going to be the key for the Lakers to steal this victory tomorrow? Is it going through LeBron? Is it everybody else stepping up? Like, what the hell has to happen tomorrow?
I'm going to keep it real simple with you, bro. And before I answer that question, I see the chat going off on the Kobe MJ debate stuff. Kobe's always going to be my GOAT, but I appreciate greatness all the way around. Like, I have mad respect for MJ. You know, LeBron James is definitely one of the GOATs. I have no problem with anybody picking either of the three. You feel me? Or even Magic Johnson or Kareem or any one of the greats that come before. I like just love basketball in general, but my GOAT will always be Kobe Bean. Right. But to answer your question, bro, big key for tomorrow is very simple. Darvinham has to coach his ass off. That's key number one. He got to come and do his job. He got to earn his paycheck. Because right now he's been a con artist, man. This man has been falsifying being a coach for the last 2 years. And he actually has to play. You know what it's like? You ever seen those comedy movies when somebody sneaks into the hospital and then they got to pretend to do surgery because they're like,
yep. That's what he is. He's fraud. He's a creative player. Darvinham is a creative player, bro.
Yes. And right now the spotlight is on him. So you better perform surgery tomorrow, fam. And with the little experience and just looking at the rest of the surgeons that you have. So that's key number one. Key number two, man, that two-man game. I don't understand why LeBron and AD don't go to it more. Yeah. Right. Shout out, Nakomi. I don't get why LeBron and AD don't go to that more. There are flat-footed Joker is the weakness. If you put him in a pick and roll, you put him in a blender, he's gonna struggle. You're gonna get him in foul trouble. He's not gonna have the same energy on the offensive end if you make him play some defense, and you're gonna control the tempo. We had 72 points in the last game. My key for the Lakers, ultimate key, is we need 80 points the next game. You keep raising the bar as far as scoring in the paint. And then finally, man, in-game adjustments. Darvinham, use your fucking challenges, man. Call timeouts. You know what I'm saying? Stop thinking with that second part of your brain, that little bubble he has at the top, man. Use your actual brain, man. Stop thinking from the bubble. And I'm telling you, if all three things happen, we will win tomorrow night. We heard it here first on Lakeland. If all three of those things happen.
The breakdown by DTLF. Y'all heard it first. Y'all let us know, Lakerland, what is the biggest key to a Lakers victory tomorrow night in game five? Because it is definitely going down in Denver. Y'all let us know in the comment section in y'all eyes, Lakerland, what is going to be tomorrow's biggest key to a Lakers victory. It is definitely going down. Make sure that you guys come through tomorrow. I know y'all going to be pulled up in Dan's playback. We also have a watch party for all of our Lakers game, free VIP access. So again, come on over to playback.tv/Lakerland as we rock out for game five. Myself, Cole, B.A., Hank will definitely be in the building. So hopefully we'll catch you guys tomorrow. Dan, what other content do you normally do outside of watch parties on Playback? How instrumental has Playback been for your brand, fam?
Well, I'll tell you, man, YouTube tried to put me out. You already know the story. And so I said, you know, never again will I rely on just one revenue flow, especially when I got to feed my family. That's so, you know, I got my hustle up times 10. Playback treated a kid right, man. We already up to 500 in the first 2 months, man. Plus, church, man. Shout out to my crew over there, man. AJ, my heart, yeah. Everybody who contributes to that team in the chat. You know what I'm saying? So it's been a beautiful thing. But we got all kinds of content, bro. We got Around the League coming up this Tuesday on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, Dan the Laker Fan. We got you know, so obviously we got the wonderful website, shopcourtkings.com, and we got some fire merch, man. Y'all go check that out at affordable prices for free shipping for the community, man. See, everything I do is for the community. Really not making tons of profit off of that, but it's all for the community, man. So
it's all official. It's all official.
It's all love, man. So definitely tap in. And of course, tap in with my brother right here. I'm telling y'all, man, this guy has put in work, man. I've been a fan of yours as well, my man. Appreciate you, man. It goes both ways. And I just love what you're doing, man. Show him love. Go to his Cash App. All of that. Because this is how we uplift the communities, man. Being there for one another no matter what, all right?
That's how we getting it popping, bro. Y'all already know the vibes, man. Salute to my brother Dan, the Laker fan. This is Lakerland Live episode number 8. We are in the building. Shout out to everybody that's in the live chat, man. Do us a huge favor. Let's get this video stream out to the NBA community today because niggas doubted the Lakers. They doubted us. Smash that like button, man. Let's get this video out. I see about 300 people in the live chat. Yes. Definitely appreciate the support and the love, you guys. Salute again to my brother Dan, a Lakers fan. We're about to get into our TikTok segment of the podcast. Real brief segment before we get into more things here on Lakerland. So, Dan.
Yep.
Let's get into my TikTok segment for this afternoon. In order, rank these NBA players' chances to win another NBA title. Mm-hmm. They say it's the end of an era for KD, Steph, and LeBron. I want you to rank the chances of these guys winning another title.
All right, perfect. One to three. All right, number one, well, let's start from three. Let's start from worst to best. Worst is KD, man. He's on a team that plays zero defense. He's got a crybaby on his team. Booker, they ain't never proved shit, man. You know, he actually went from a super team with the Nets, having Kyrie a true winner, a true champion, and he downgraded, in my opinion, going to the Suns because they traded away the only defender they had in DeAndre Ayton. And it's like, how you hire a coach like Frank and you don't have no defense on the team, right? So number three, KD. Number two, Steph Curry. Steph Curry, I don't think he'll ever win a championship again unless he demands a trade and requests a trade.
And really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm dead.
So bringing back Klay is still not enough to you.
It's a young man's league, and that team's getting older, man. They're better off. They're better off. Listen, the only way they win a championship is if LeBron requests a trade to the Warriors. That's going to be the only way they have an opportunity. But even then, they're getting a year older. Steph Curry is what, 35, 36? Even though he looks 18, he's 35, 36. I got him at number two. And then number one, LeBron. He's still on the winningest franchise of all time. We're talking win percentage. We're talking championships. We're talking the whole ordeal. And the Lakers always want to win, and the fans will continue to put pressure on the front office. So as long as LeBron's a Laker, he's got an opportunity to win the championship. Now, even if he goes elsewhere, he's going to call the shots because – he could take a pay cut, go play for the Knicks, and they'd be an instant contender. He could take a pay cut, go play for the Cavs. But I think the most dangerous move, man, and I've talked about this, I think there's going to be conversations between the Warriors and the Lakers this offseason.
You know what's so funny to me, though? This is so wild. And I mean, it's not that I disagree, because I agree 100% with Dan. But it's funny that we give Steph more of a chance to win a championship, and he ain't even in the damn playoffs. KD is still literally in it, and we still giving Steph a better chance to win a damn NBA title, man.
And that's because of them years. That's because for me, KD, and I've said this before, is the most disappointing superstar of all time. Yes, he has two titles, but he took the easiest route I'd ever seen, man. And to me, I had high expectations for this man. I'd never seen a player like him coming into the league out of Texas. You know, face up, guard skills, one of the most elite scorers we ever seen, and he ends up with two watered down championships. If that's the rest of his career, most disappointing superstar I've ever seen, in my opinion. So I'll say, yeah, man, that's the order right there. KD, Curry, LeBron, number one.
All right, Lakerland, we got two more topics to go before the show is a wrap. This next topic, we all got to get involved, and we all got to answer this million-dollar question. Talking about GOAT James, this is a topic of discussion that we just recently had on Playback, and it kind of went left. So hopefully me and Dan don't go crazy here on StreamYard tonight. My God.
We're about to fight, bro. We're about to fight.
Yeah, it might go down. Hank, this is for you, my G. Yo, Dan, has LeBron James defeated Father Time?
Oh, man.
Lakerland, I need y'all to answer this too, but I need y'all to really think about what I'm asking. Has LeBron James defeated Father Time? Dan, I need your thoughts.
All right. All right, look, there's a two-part answer to this. Yes and no. Yes, he has. You ain't never seen nobody damn near 40 out here looking like a fossil, still dunking, clocking it back, still playing defense in spurts, and still the best player on his team and in the playoffs, right? When was the last time we've seen that? So in that side of the question, yes. Now, the no part of the question is that we're starting to see his decline slowly but surely. I see it. You know what I'm saying? He takes more defensive possessions off than I've ever seen before. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes he gets out-rebounded. Aaron Gordon's been running laps around him, with the exception of the last game. So, yeah, I see it. I see Father Time kicking in a little bit. But, man, he really, I don't know, LeBron has a stranglehold on Father Time. He's like, it's coming, but he's like choking it right now. He's like, he has it with his back against the wall. And he's stretching it out for all glory, man. He's stretching that out as far as it can wait. But yeah, yes and no.
This is an interesting take by Maurice, saying that he hasn't, but he's kind of working around it. I can kind of respect that. But here's my angle with this, Dan. And I'm kind of on the same, you know, boat with you. Well, the eye test is showing us things that we've never seen before from a player at that age. We've seen guys be in the league for 19, 20, 20 plus years, but they have no impact. You know, they don't have any production. People will argue that LeBron James stats right now doesn't have a lot of impact on the Lakers winning. But if you look at his numbers, and we had a comparison not too long ago, LeBron regular season numbers is in comparison with Jason Tatum. When you look at the stat line, and Jason Tatum is an all-NBA first team.
Right.
So, you know, LeBron in 39 years old, year 21, is, you know, he's still a freight train. We watched him yesterday. They can't stop him.
Yep.
It's either he going to make it or miss it. And I don't think we've ever seen that from someone with this many minutes on their legs, this much, you know, wear and tear. It's just never been done before. And yeah, we're seeing a falling off, but that's to me because he's a human being.
Yeah.
I feel like he's defeated it.
Man, it's hard to say, bro. I'll tell you what, he wins one more championship. I agree with you. He wins one more throughout the rest of his career. I agree with you. He definitely defeated. If he can win one in his 40s, fam, then there ain't no argument against that. But again, imagine if LeBron was still in his prime, how we would look this series right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, if LeBron was still in his prime, where he's giving it his all, you know, he always turns up in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, we would probably sweep this team if LeBron was in his prime.
If other dudes would do their damn job, we would also have a better chance of not being down 3-1.
But you got to give credit to AD. AD has been a monster in this series. He's been a monster in every game. He's getting better and better and better. So, AD has been a real sidekick this series. Compared in contrast to the last time we got swept by them, you know, say AD kind of disappeared a little bit. So
now this is another thing before we get up out of here. This is another thing that we've been arguing about on Lakerland when it comes to Anthony Davis, even though he's been putting up the numbers on paper. He's been a walking double-double, averaging over 30 points a game in this series. We have felt at times, at least some of us, felt like AD has not stepped up to the plate of demanding the assignment of Nikola Jokic for the duration of a game. Like, he shined away from that assignment, which has impact, because the way Jokic is beat up on Rui in this series, it's just been terrible. So I'm just like, how do we give AD so much credit and love in this series when he's not really demanding the lock in with the guy who, you know, was the head of that snake?
I see it from the other side. Okay. I see it from the other side. So AD, now I told you LeBron was the best player on the team, right? Period. But Anthony Davis, the most important player on the team, if that makes sense. So LeBron is the best player. AD is the most important player. Why? He's the last line of defense, man. He's the only guy we got in the paint doing the dirty work. So we expect this man to defend. Then we expect him to go off on offense, rebound. And AD has done that to the best of his ability. Now, the reason I disagree with starting him on Jokic is because Jokic is a flop artist, man. He's going to draw so many fouls on him and get the ball game, which is why I don't think it's him not wanting the assignment. I think it's Coach Darvin Ham actually doing the one smart thing he's done all series is kind of hiding him in the defensive scheme of things. And if you notice, AD really hasn't been in too much foul trouble this series because of it, you know. But if we started him on Jokic, you'd probably pick up two quick fouls in the first 5 minutes, and now you got to sit him for like the rest of the half almost, you know. And that's the main reason, man. Jokic is actually not one of my favorite players because he gets away with a lot of hooking. He gets away with a lot of things that other players don't, you know what I'm saying? It's like he's the and I don't understand why the NBA loves him so much. He don't love the NBA the same. You know what I mean? He loves his horses more than he loves his woman. So, he's out here, man, and it sucks. It sucks to see as a basketball fan. I want passionate players to get the calls. You know what I'm saying? I want passionate players to get the love from the NBA. But Jokic is their man, the golden child, I guess.
Yeah. All right, boys and girls, it is officially a wrap. Episode number 8 is now in the books.
Thank you for having me, bro. Hey, this was a blast, man. This is a blast.
You know, Dan, how we rocking, man. Once again, just let the people know before we get up out of here where they can follow you at before we sign off for the show.
Very simple, man. You can just look me up on YouTube. You can type in the letters right there on my name, right here. DTLF or Dan the Laker Fan, and then Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. And of course, check out our website, shopcourtkings.com, for the latest, greatest merch. So definitely check that out at the best prices. And that's it, man. And subscribe to my guy right here on Lakerland. That's it.
Once again, people, shout out to Lakers Nation. Big up to the Lakerland, the Lakers community. And Dan, again, thank you so much. I haven't even checked the numbers. I know we were we almost was at 5K. At this stream, we working real hard. Shout out to my partners Cole, Hank, and BA. So, you know, again, each and every one of you guys that came through, checked out this stream, really appreciate you guys' support. Thank you guys for chopping it up with us in the live chat. Dan, you the man.
What else can I say? Thank you, brother. Keep doing your thing, man. You're gonna get there, man. That 5K is just the beginning for you, sir. So, I mean, the presentation. You know you're bald, man. You got charisma, personality, all that good stuff, man. Much love to you, man. Keep doing your thing, bro.
Appreciate you, family. You already know how we rock. And shout out to my brother, Ty. I see you out there, my G. Big up to you. We are signing off here on Lakerland Live. Hopefully, our season does not end tomorrow night. But regardless of what happens, Lakers Nation, y'all know here at Lakerland and my brother Dan, the Lakers fan, we're going to bring you guys the real all week this week. So buckle the fuck up. It's purple and gold skies, y'all. Y'all stay safe, man. And we are out.
Salute, chat.
Peace. Salute, y'all. Peace.